Now, turn with us in closing this part of it in John chapter 12 and verse 48. Now, here the Lord has been speaking to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are resisting everything that the Lord says. The Pharisees was making a really good living doing this religious stuff. You know, there's a lot of people today making a real good living doing religious stuff, ain't they? Really good living. And these Pharisees was really concerned about the fact they're about to lose if this rebel from Nazareth really got a hold. They was really going to be losers on this thing. And the Lord spoke to them, and he's been speaking to them here for quite a while at this point in time right here. And it comes down to the very thing they claim that they believe. They claim they believe the book. They claim they believe the scriptures. But he says here, because they have turned away from him and rejected everything that he said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. And notice that. The words of God. Hath one that judgeth him. You got one. The word that I have spoken. Because the words of God became the word of God. You see how the many become one? That the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, the Pharisee will be judged someday, that those that rejected the Lord and those that reject the Lord today. When they stand before the Lord in the white throne judgment, they're going to be judged out of the very book that they rejected. Now, the world is rejecting this book right here. They reject it every day. I rejected it for 26 years. And then it came into my heart by faith. But we want to be sure that we understand the power that is in this book as we study this book for the next few weeks. Because it is the very book that will judge the world. Now, let's go to the title of our study. And the title of our study is The Summer Threshing Floors. Now, don't know whether you thought a whole lot about this. But now, you can take one good John Deere combine and put every one of them folks out of business right there. Would you not agree? But this is what God's talking about. In Daniel's day, this is the way they done it. And I'm one of them people, I was born 40 years too late, I'm convinced. Because I like to do everything with a clipboard and a file cabinet. I like to print. I like to do things the hard way. Because I tend to learn a little bit better if I do it the hard way. Now, this is the hard way. You've got some folks out there. If you look far enough, they're out there cutting them sheaves. And they're bringing the sheaves in here, and those fellas are casting the sheaves down, and those oxen is pulling the thresher around, and they're separating those kernels of grain, whether it's wheat or whatever, they're breaking it away from the stalk. And then they take that, and they cast it over to these other fellas over there. Now, that's not tambourines. They're not doing the boogie or nothing over there. They're winnowing the wheat, winnowing. They're taking that and they're casting it up and letting the wind blow it away, and it keeps separating the chaff. So the process of harvesting and thrashing and winnowing is the process of separating and taking away that which is not good and leaving that which is good. Now, Daniel, as we're going to be studying in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 35, and let's turn over there to that, and we'll look at a couple of things what Daniel says about this, and keep in mind that picture that we just looked at. Because the process that the Hebrew used to bring in the harvest, to thrash it, and to separate it, to winnow it, and then the grain that was left, and in some types of grain, they would even run it through a sieve and even finally get the finer particles out of it there before they would make bread and stuff. But what it does, and what Daniel is using here in this image, is that it is a picture of God's judgment. Now, that we want to see. He says, and we'll be further into this further, but I want you to see the spread of what we're going to be dealing with. He says, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. Now, the fact that it's not threshing floor, it's threshing floors, is prophetic in itself, because it's talking about many times that the Lord would do this through the period of these kingdoms that ends up in iron and clay, but began with gold. And we'll talk about that as the weeks go on, because the kingdom that Daniel is living in is the kingdom of Babylon. That is the first kingdom. That is the golden kingdom. That is the one in reference that he's talking about. But he's saying that every one of these kingdoms will be judged. And the judgment of these will be done as in a summer threshing floor. It will be done through a process. It's not the Lord going to send a bolt of lightning down and just snap them out of existence. But there's a process that God uses when he brings judgment upon a nation. And we think, a lot of times when we see that in Scripture, we think sometimes we understand the process, but the Lord's way of doing things, the Lord's never in a hurry. I like to get everything done in one day. If I start something, I just love to get her done. Don't you, Larry Dale? I'm ready for a new chapter tomorrow. But the Lord, now, he is eternal. He's the Alpha, Omega, beginning, and end. He's always has been. So he's never been in a hurry. And when we read some of these things, we think, well, won't the Lord just get with it? But that's God's grace. If it wasn't for God's grace, this room would be empty tonight. Aren't you glad he's patient? Ain't you glad that he gives us all those second and third chances? But the Lord's process of which he deals with these, he says, and the wind carried them away. That's them fellers that was over there casting that grain in there, and the wind coming through. And that's why, we'll talk about this later on down the road, that the Lord extends after the tribulation time 45 days before there's a resurrection, because he's going to let the winds carry away a lot of things after the Battle of Armageddon. And no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, we won't go into that verse tonight, but what it's talking about is that stone that he's talking about that became a great mountain is the very one that we've seen earlier in Matthew chapter 17 that went up there and was transfigured before Peter, James, and John. That was that stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands that's going to someday fill the whole earth. So Daniel, in his verse right here, in the center of our Bible study, has to do with the very judgments of God that's coming in the days to come. Now turn with us in the book of Micah, chapter 4, and let's look at two or three verses of Scripture here. Anybody got any questions or comments or anything right in there? If I was you, I would have a question or comment. I wouldn't let me get away with all this without saying something. Okay, Micah is a prophet that prophesied before the Babylonian captivity. Now, when you're studying the prophets, and there's the major prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, but the minor prophets, that's what a lot of commentators call them, is men like Micah and Obadiah and Malachi, the prophets that had very short messages. They tend to put them in different categories, but you got to be sure, don't put them too far back, because Micah was a prophet that prophesied many, many years before Daniel receives his prophecy that he writes about. But notice what he says here in the book of Micah. He says, now also many nations are gathered against thee, that say, let her be defiled, and let her eyes look upon Zion. They're talking about Jerusalem here. Look at the next verse. He says, but they know not the thoughts of the Lord. Now, that's what we was talking about a while ago. The Lord has a way of doing things that we would have never done it the way the Lord does it. He says, neither understand they his counsel. Why does the Lord even send a prophet? Like poor old Jeremiah, he preached for almost 60 years, and folks, you couldn't have wadded a shotgun with the people that he ever got on his side, even listening to him hardly. I mean, how discouraging. So why would the Lord counsel that way? Why would the Lord deal with just a handful of people so many years? Folks, it's because He loves us. For God so loved the world, He dealt with me many, many years before I trusted Him. And I'm sure there's many of you in here too the same way. He says, for He shall gather them as the sheaves unto the floor. Now that's what Micah is talking about. These nations that has always been against Zion. Now we're living in a day when the United Nations, and we're going to be getting into this in a few weeks too, the United Nations hates Israel. I'm so glad that we are doing what we're doing for Israel and have for many, many years. We have befriended Israel. We have took care of Israel in so many ways. We've seen to it that they've had the way to defend, the ways to defend herself. But what we want you to see in this verse right here in these scriptures is what God thinks about these anti-Semitic nations and these councils and these groups and organizations that despises that Jew. Now look at the next verse in verse 13. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion. The Lord is going to let them help a little bit in the end of this thing. Anytime you see the daughters of Zion or the daughters of Babylon or the daughters of a nation, you're talking about another generation. Anytime in prophecy you see it referred to as daughters of, you're talking about future. It might be the next generation. It might be many generations. But He says, for I will make thine horn iron. He's going to make Israel so strong again that they'll be able to do these things. And He says, I will make thy hoofs brass. Because you've seen that ox up there going around that threshing floor? He's thrashing a little bit himself. But he's pulling that thresher in the back. But he's doing a pretty good job with his own hoofs too, because he's part of the work. And He says here, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. The Lord is going to take from these nations and glean from these nations as they're destroyed in the last days. That's what Micah says. Now, keep that in mind, because these prophets keep speaking about these very same things. Look in Jeremiah chapter 51, and we'll look at three verses of Scripture there. Jeremiah the same. Now, Jeremiah, he prophesied during the times of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah over a period, as we said, roughly 60 years. Now, this man had very little encouragement, as we said, in his ministry. But he was not there because the people was encouraging him. He was there because the Lord burdened his heart to do what he was supposed to do for the Lord. And he says this, for thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon. Did you notice that? Again, we're talking about a future generation. Because at this time right here, Babylon was not really a problem. He said, it's like a threshing floor. It is time to thresh her yet a little while, and the time of her harvest shall come. Did you see that? A little while? Because Babylon lasted for 70 years. The kingdom lasted for 70, and actually probably just a little bit more, because Nebuchadnezzar was already the king of Babylon when he came in to take the first load of Jews into Babylon, and Daniel was of that first load, and he was there 70 years. So he says this, he says, and the time of her harvest shall come, a future judgment, because again, he refers to that threshing floor as a place of judgment. Verse 34. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. Now he's talking about when Nebuchadnezzar would come in, 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and destroy Israel and take them out. And he'd done it over a period of almost 9 years. The book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was also in Babylon. He left on a second bus load. Don't know why he didn't get on the first bus load, but for some reason he left on the second load. There's an advantage in that sometimes. I know when I was in the Army, it was always best not to be on the first bus load. There was something about that that you was getting ready to get in a mess. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicates, the things of Israel, all the riches of Israel is what he's talking about. He hath cast me out. Look at verse 35. The violence done to me, he's talking about Israel, to my flesh be upon Babylon. shall the inhabitants of Zion say, and my blood upon the inhabitants of Chaldea shall Jerusalem say. Now Chaldea is the Chaldeans, or the people of Babylon. And he's talking about a future time, and he said it ain't going to be long. It's going to come. Now, a lot of the prophets, when they prophesied about something, it may just be a few years. But the mass of all the prophecies in the Old Testament are keyed to the first and the second advent of the Lord. But many of them had to do with the days that we're talking about, where Babylon was dealt with, and the Medo-Persian Empire was dealt with, and the Grecian Empire was dealt with, and all that was before the New Testament. So keep that in mind as we study. Now, I want us to look one more verse of Scripture in the book of Genesis, chapter 8 and verse 22. Now, when you're studying the Bible, a lot of times we talk about spring, summer, fall, and winter, right? We divide it four ways. Now, the Bible divides it two ways. And the reason that you want to understand that is why he called it a summer threshing floor. Because fall, in the seventh month, which would be around October, end of September, October, for the Jew, he's talking about why the earth remaineth, and this is after Noah comes out of the ark, and the Lord has brought the waters down, and he has given unto Noah here the things that's going to take place from that time forward. He says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, you're either planting or you're harvesting. And cold and winter, it's either summer or winter, he says, and day and night shall not cease. Those things you can take to the bank. That's the way the Lord says it's going to be. Now, we deal again with spring and fall, but the Bible deals with seed time and harvest. It deals with summer and winter. And in this threshing floor that we're talking about, it's the summer threshing floor. It's the time of harvest. It's a time when all the things that has been done by the people will come together at that point in time. That's when they know how much they've got to sustain them. That's how they know how much they got to even replant for the next year. It's a time of bringing everything together. Now, let's go to a couple of things right here, what we want to see about Daniel. And Daniel he's one of the greater prophets, because even the Lord in Matthew chapter 24 refers to Daniel. And Daniel's got kind of an unusual name. And, you know, it's a common name, but still yet, it's an unusual name because it has an unusual meaning. Now, Daniel, the first time that we run up on a name similar to that is when Jacob had a son named Dan. And Dan means judge. But Daniel has a different meaning. And Daniel's name, and it carries over all the way through his prophecy, where Daniel's name means something different. Did you know that they don't teach kids in school anymore how to write cursive? I think that's a shame. As somebody was telling me the other day, that the grandmother had wrote their son a card. They'd got out to finish school up and said that the son brought it to his mother to read it because he couldn't read it because it was in cursive. But when I was in school, cursive was a little bit different. So what does Daniel mean? Anybody want to guess? There's one thing about writing this way. It's slow, but you will not forget what you write. What is God? God is judge. Aren't you glad that God is judge? If there was any of us in here had that title tonight, we'd be dangerous, wouldn't we? I'm so glad that He takes care of that. Now, Daniel is a prophet that foresees what's called the times of the Gentiles that we'll look at here before we leave tonight. And he not only talks about the judgment of the Gentile nations, but he talks about the judgment of Israel too. Now turn with us briefly into Daniel chapter 9, and I want us to look at a couple of verses of Scripture, verses 24 and 27. And the reason I want to see you to see this tonight, because we're pouring concrete in them forms right now. We're about to get this thing to where we can stand up next week when we hit the road running. Daniel says this in chapter 9, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. The prophecy that Daniel's talking about has everything to do with the Jewish people. It has everything to do with Jerusalem. Now, we're going to look at something just in a minute, and it won't be long, but we're going to look at something about Jerusalem. And he says, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision of prophecy and to anoint the Most Holy. All that's got to happen in 70 weeks. But when we study in the next few weeks about these things, we're going to find out that 69 weeks of that was fulfilled when the Lord was taken to Calvary's cross. 69 of those weeks was fulfilled when He gave His life at Calvary, and then the Lord took the calendar of Israel and just turned it over. And that's where we're at today. Israel has been turned over. But then, after the Lord takes us out of here, He's going to come right back, and He's going to start that calendar again, and there's one more week left, and that week is going to last 7 years. And that's what He's talking about right there. Look at verse 27. And He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. He's talking about the Antichrist here. This week that He's talking about, it will be a covenant that will be made with Israel that will last for 3.5 years. And you wonder why in the world a Jew would put up with a covenant made with the devil himself. It's because they don't know he's the devil himself. He has deceived the whole world, including Israel, and he makes a covenant with them, and they actually go back in to Jerusalem, the city of Zion, and rebuild the temple there. And what he says, in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, because the Jew has been there offering sacrifices again. They're right back in the temple. Everything is going good, except the fact that that covenant is going to be broken. And he says, now, and it's for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even to the consummation he determined shall be poured upon the desolate. What in the world does that mean? It means it's really, really, really going to be bad. And we're going to find out how bad here in the next few weeks. Let's we got just about 10 minutes here, and we need to get just a little bit further into this thing. And look with us in the book of Matthew chapter 24. And here the Lord Himself, He refers to Daniel, and He talks about the things that's going to take place. And when He set up on the Mount of Olives, the disciples come in and they ask the Lord, well, Lord, what's going to be the sign of the temple being destroyed? And what's going to be the sign of the end of the world and that coming? And go on to the next one right there. He says in verse 5. There we go. For many shall come in my name and saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. These are the things that's going to be happening before His next coming. He says in verse 11, look at that. He said, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. We're seeing that today. There's no doubt in my mind that part of that is coming to pass today. Verse 15, he says, now this is the Lord speaking Himself about Daniel. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet And we know by that right there, the Lord legitimizes Daniel. He says, stand in the holy place. Now, we won't go too far in that tonight, but what happens when that covenant is broken and that Jew is cast out of the temple, the devil himself is going to come in and he's going to make that his temple. And what he says here, that he's going to call this abomination of desolation spoken of, stand in the holy place. That's where he's going to rule from for the last 3.5 years. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Let's go to the next verse down there. We'll skip just a little bit. Verse 29, 30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. That's the sixth seal in Revelation chapter 6. He says, and the stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. He's talking about after the Antichrist comes in and brings abomination of desolation in the temple and stands in the temple. Verse 30, and he says this, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. So back there in Matthew, about 45 minutes ago, when we climbed that mountain with Peter, James, and John, and went up there and were seeing the Lord transfigured, right there is what happens. He said, and shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's what Peter, James, and John seen that day, folks. But the Lord gave them just a little bit of it, because that's all they could stand. And that's all we're getting, folks. We're just getting a little bit of how bad the tribulation is going to be. And before we get done with this study, we'll be able to see just a little bit more. I want us to go to an article. Brother Steve just gone down to the Jerusalem article, and I'm not promoting anything here, but what I'm wanting to do is to remind you what happened in the first part of December when it was announced that the United States would be moving their embassy from Tel Aviv, and Tel Aviv is nothing, folks. That's the old city of Joppa. That's where Jonah caught a boat and tried to run from the Lord. Who'd want to make that their capital? But he's going to move it to where it's supposed to be. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, if you want to go back and read that, that's where when David was anointed or made king, and he went in and run the Jebusites out of town and made it the city of David. He made Jerusalem the capital of his kingdom. And that's the capital it's supposed to be. Now, I'm glad that we're doing that, but he says here that in Wednesday, a formal recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, reversing nearly 7 decades of American foreign policy and set in motion the plan to move the United Nations embassy from Tel Aviv to the fiercely contested holy city. As I said earlier, the whole world hates the Jew. They cannot stand the fact that we're going to be moving an embassy. There's another country, Guatemala. In the world, I don't know why they're doing it, but they're doing it too. So there'll be more. But what is happening in that, and there's some prophecy in that, the recognition of Israel becoming, the capital becoming Jerusalem of Israel again, has to be in place for the last days to come together as Daniel prophesied about the holy city, because it's got to be a city in great controversy. And folks, it is that city today. But 5 minutes. Anybody got any questions or comments? And what Steve's going to do, if you got a question or comment, he won't put your name on it, but he will post the question and the answer to it. So we won't try to embarrass. He won't embarrass nobody but me. And because if I get the answer wrong, it'll be me on the limb, not you. Anybody got any questions or comment on anything we've covered tonight? Okay.
So you were talking about the 6 years, and each of the years stood for 1,000 years. Is that right?
Well. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 1, it says after 6 days, and then after 6 days, yeah. And then what 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 says, but beloved, know this one thing, that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. So put in that verse in light of prophecy, because the Lord, he don't wear a Timex. His days are the same as 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day. But there in Matthew, they're living in that day. And then he says, after 6 days, and he's in the reference from the very beginning of mankind, the sixth day, after 6 days, we're going to see him on that mountain in his second coming. So the 6 days would be in reference to the very beginning to the very end. Well, we are, because if we, by the Scripture speaking, and what his question is, are we in that 6 day? We're living in the last day, and the last day in prophecy is that 6th day, because the millennial is the 7th day. That is the completion, and a millennial is for 1,000 years. And the Lord sets up that kingdom, and he rules and reigns for 1,000 years, and then at the end of that 7th, a new day, or the 8th day, would be a new creation, a new heaven, and a new earth. So 8 is the is a new beginning, and 7 is a number of completion. Good question, Fred. Why can't everybody ask a good, solid question like Fred did?
I paid attention a little.
There you go. I think Fred did. Anybody else got a question? Comment? Insult? We'll take whatever we can get from you tonight. Folks, I really appreciate you coming out tonight. And what we'll do, we'll start pretty well right there next week, and we'll try to figure out a little bit more about these threshing floors. Bring somebody with you. We've not went too far that they couldn't catch up, don't you think? I believe they can catch up tonight. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for this time that you've given us. We thank you for the time that you've given us to open up your precious and holy word, and help us, Lord, as we search the Scriptures, Lord, for the words of the last days, that we can be better understand the day that we're living. Lord, help us to be the soul winners we need to be. Reach out to those that's living in darkness and help them see the need for eternal life. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.